Venerable religious and dear parishioners, I was thinking of a story that I had heard in a time management seminar, or I should say an illustration to get across how we value things. And I'm sure I'll get the details wrong, but you'll get the idea. The one that was giving the talk says, suppose he's giving a talk to a number of people, professionals and such types. He's giving them a talk, and he says, suppose that here in this room we had a 20-foot long iron beam, an I-beam, and it was 2 feet off the ground. How many of you would walk across it if I gave you $100? And right away, all the hands started going up. Well, that's no trouble at all. You know, $100, a very easy way to make some money. And I'm sure everybody's hand went up on that one. And then he said, now we're going to take this beam and put it up 20 feet off the ground. And those that walk across it will get $1,000. Many of the hands went up, perhaps even most of them. And then he said, this was when the World Trade Center towers were still standing. He said, imagine this beam stretching from one tower to the other. It's like 1,000 feet up. And if you cross it, I will give you $1,000,000. You know, no other support, safety net, nothing, just walk across it. And not a single hand went up. And then he said, let's imagine this scenario, that your child is held hostage on the top of one of those towers, and you're on the other one. And in order to rescue your child, you have to walk across that beam. How many of you would do it? And all those who were parents of children, their hands went up into the air. And he said, I've illustrated a point, and it's a wonderful realization how much you value your children. You wouldn't do it for $1,000,000. But when it's your own child, your own flesh and blood, you will go to any lengths necessary, if that's what it took, to go over there and save your child. And what that shows, this illustration, of course, shows the hierarchy of values that are there, that should be there. I believe we can also use this illustration to think about the value of a soul. And this is the point of Mission Sunday, to realize the value of one immortal soul and what we should be willing to do for the salvation of souls. You know, go back to our illustration, this rescuing a child is for, obviously, the bodily welfare of the child. But what is even more critical, more important, is the eternal welfare of the child, the eternal welfare of any soul. And so this is what we need to think about today, the value of an immortal soul. It's priceless. Why is each human soul priceless? Because there's an infinite price tag on each one. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Although unfortunately many will lose their souls, nevertheless, everybody was redeemed. The gates of heaven were unlocked for each person. Not that they're going to get there because they're not doing their part, but Jesus paid this price, and the price of his blood is infinite. It's limitless. And so as we reflect upon the souls of every human being living, we have to understand what a wonderful thing it is for somebody to save his soul, to die in the state of sanctifying grace, but what a tragedy that an immortal soul is lost for all eternity. In other words, we should do something about it. This is not a matter for us to say, well, it's not my soul. Each person, it's up to each person. What kind of love is in our heart if we would have such an attitude? I believe we would be greatly lacking in love of neighbor. So what we need to do is to be concerned about it. And this is where, no, we can't go and take people's free will away. It's an impossibility, but we need to pray and offer up our sacrifices for the salvation of souls, for those priceless souls for which Jesus shed his blood as he did for us. This is why we need to support such things as the Rosary and Scapular Guild, because just think about it. Maybe that dollar you give one day that will help get the materials for a rosary, somebody down the road is going to pray that. And because that person prayed that rosary, it led him or her to more rosaries. And that person ended up saving his soul. So our thoughts are on the salvation of souls today on Mission Sunday. You know, it used to be that, especially in Europe, that countries were Catholic, where the majority of everybody was practicing the Catholic faith, something we don't experience here in our country, which unfortunately has never been Catholic, certainly not as a majority, and certainly not acknowledged as such in the government or in the state, where, you know, it'd be wonderful to where the whole neighborhood is Catholic. Everybody's going to Mass on Sundays, and during the week, many people going, that type of thing. So in a sense, the whole world is a missionary activity. Because of the devastation of Vatican II, every land is a mission land. And so these rosaries and scapulars, to name one very, very commendable apostle that go here and in other countries throughout the world, souls are perishing everywhere. And let's be concerned about that. Let's also give a life of good example. What a critical part of the apostolate, to live in such a way that will inspire people to want to be Catholic. Ask yourself today, am I living that kind of life where the non-Catholics of my acquaintance are inspired to look into the Catholic faith? Do I speak to them about the salvation of their souls? They have to be part of the church in some way to save their souls. No salvation outside the Catholic Church. This has been a dogma of the church since the beginning. That somehow they have to be part of the church to save their souls. What are we doing about it? Our acts of charity. Remember what the pagans said about the early Christians. Look at these Christians, how they love one another. How well do we pass that test? Do people outside the faith see the supernatural charity among us? This is another very powerful tool, necessary tool in the salvation of souls. They have to be attracted to what we're doing. And by no means, my dear brethren, should we act as though we're somehow in the bag. You know, I'm traditional Catholic. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to save my soul. There's no guarantees. This is why St. Paul said, you know, I chastise my body and bring it under subjection, lest I become a castaway. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling, another part of Scripture says. We are by no means guaranteed. My dear brethren, we can slip away, we can fall away ourselves. We have even seen it in others, and I don't say that holier than thou. You know, in a sense, what we have to fear the most, and I'm not even going to say mortal sin, in a sense, it's venial sin. Our danger is not going to hell over the cliff. Our danger is going to hell through the slippery slope. This is why Father Clement Kubish would give his sermons about not cutting corners. And it's just the way our human nature is. We tend to get lax, and we habitually commit certain venial sins, and that is such a grave danger that I want to convey to you. You see, human nature doesn't just go out and commit mortal sins, you know, big sins right away. It always starts with the smaller ones. Whoever goes and murders somebody doesn't just do it from the get-go. They start fighting and hurting others and get used to that. And then the next step, they go to the horrible crime. And there are areas that we have to watch ourselves, my dear brethren, actually in all areas. You know, when we habitually commit venial sins, we are essentially lukewarm. And we are in danger of falling. Venial sins don't add up to mortal sin, but they certainly lead there. One of the problems that we have, the being late for Sunday Mass so often, or leaving early unnecessarily, start getting into the habit of doing that, then you start missing more and more. Going to hell by degrees, not over the cliff, going down the slippery slope. Habitually telling white lies. You know, maybe stealing a little bit here and there. Oh, so nobody will notice it. And it starts to get bigger and bigger, the things we start to take or the lies we tell. Or how about modesty? You know? The neckline starts to go down a little bit more, a little bit more. Maybe it's not a mortal sin. One day it will be. It gets low enough. Bad thing, bad sign. Or how tight of a dress can I wear? So, my dear brethren, as we reflect upon the value of immortal souls, let's remember, each one of us has an immortal soul. And what we need to have a holy fear, a truly abiding holy fear, is lukewarmness. Where venial sin and faults are just habitual. We fell into that pattern of acting and it's just there. Starting to play fast and loose with occasions of sin. We're not obliged to avoid all remote occasions of sin, but what about starting to get close to the line where it becomes proximate? Young people that are dating, I don't even like that word. Young people who are keeping courtship so they in a holy and virtuous way can prepare for marriage. What's their slippery slope? Oh, it comes quite quickly. We don't need to have anybody around. We don't need a chaperone. Very quickly, from remote to proximate occasion of sin, and then the slide gets worse and worse. You know, that snowball effect, it's a terrible thing. We need to catch it way up at the top of the mountain, not when it's gotten to be, you know, 15 feet in diameter. Really hard to stop it then. Stop it when it's small. So as we thank Jesus today for what he's done to redeem all of us, let us pray that we never fall into an attitude of lukewarmness and just being casually comfortable with venial sin in our lives. It needs to go. Not that we're ever going to eliminate it. Only the Blessed Mother was completely free from sin, but this is where we all have to work on eliminating not just mortal, especially, yes, but even venial sins, which unchecked will take us way too far. And let us pray that when we go to heaven one day, that we will help bring many souls, many that we will not have met in this life, but because of our fervent Catholic living, our good example, our charity, we will have helped, and hopefully many souls, we will be able to call our spiritual children that we help to get to heaven by being the best Catholic we could be by striving to become a saint. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.